Good morning. Happy New Year. Good. I had someone respond. Happy New Year. Happy New Liturgical Year. Because this is the first Sunday of Advent, that means that we move into a new liturgical year. It means that we move out of readings in the Gospel of Matthew into the Gospels of Mark and John. So we get the shortest, oldest gospel and the newest, strangest gospel. So that's what we have for this year. But welcome to St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's a delight to see those who are physically here. Welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. On the first Sunday, we pray for those people who have birthdays this month. So these are the people that I see. On the 5th of December, Isaiah Goddard. On the same date, James Foss. The same date, Callan Johns. The same date, Tyler Searle. What in the world happened on December 5th? On the 18th, Skip Hancock. The 25th, Carol Dibdahl. And the 26th, Jason Dobbin. So let's pray for all those with birthdays this month. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for these individuals who are part of our faith community. Be with them during the course of this new year for them. Let them know whatever they encounter that you are there every step of the way. And we ask all things in your precious and holy name. Amen. And we do have one anniversary this month, and that is on December the 28th, Aelita and Pepper Neustadt. So let's pray for them as well. Oh Lord, we thank you for the gift of marriage, that coming together of two people to share their lives together, to be with Aelita and Pepper as they begin a new year together. It may be a time of sorrow and a time of joy. Just help them to turn toward one another and to turn toward you and to get through any trials and tribulations that they may have, and to see their joys increased. We ask all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a few other announcements. Our food pantry volunteers for tomorrow are Shirley Gorman, Linda Morgan, and Mary Lett. Bible study will be here at 10 o'clock on Tuesday. Wednesday, men's breakfast will be over at Southside Grill, 8 o'clock. Wednesday is also Youth Night and Confirmation at 5:45. And on Thursday, the Bell Choir will be rehearsing at 1 p.m. Do we have any other announcements we need to take care of? If not, at this time, we light the Advent wreath. So, Jan, if you'll come forward and light the first candle. Praise to you, O God, our salvation who is near. You hold us in our waiting and keep us awake to the world. You show up in our lives at unexpected times. Bless us as we light this candle to keep vigil for your arrival. We trust that even though we do not know the day or the hour, you hurry to gather all people to your peace. Amen. And let us sing the first verse of Light One Candle to Watch for Messiah. It is number 240. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who opens the heavens and draws near to us with salvation. Amen. God is patient and merciful, desiring all to come to repentance. Trusting this promise of grace, let us confess our sin. Everlasting God, you love justice and you hate wrongdoing. We confess the fear, greed, and self-suffering that makes us reluctant to work against oppression. We are complicit in systems of exploitation. We choose comfort over courage. We are careless with creation's bounty. Look upon us with mercy. Turn our hearts again to you. Make us glad to do your will and to walk in your ways for the sake of our waiting world. Amen. Hear these words of assurance. God clothes you with garments of salvation and covers you with robes of righteousness. In the tender compassion of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. God's covenant is eternal, and God's blessing rests upon us all. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Creator of the Stars of Night, number 245. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. And let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, awaken us to the threatening dangers of our sins, and keep us blameless until the coming of your new day. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. Our first reading is from Isaiah, the son of Amos. This lament comes from a people who have had their hopes shattered. The visions of a rebuilt Jerusalem and a renewed people of God, spoken in Isaiah 40 through 55, have not been realized. Instead, the people experience ruin, conflict, and famine. This lament calls God to account, to be the God who has brought deliverance in the past. The reading from Isaiah is chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains quaked at your presence. From the ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you. You who works for those who wait for him. You meet those gladly do right. Those who remember you in your ways, but you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read responsively Psalm 80, 1 through 7 and 17 through 19. Hear, O shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock, shine forth, you that are enthroned upon cherubim.
In the presence of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up your strength and come to help us.
Restore us, O God, let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. You have fed them with the bread of tears, and you have given them bowls of tears to drink.
You have made us the provision of our neighbors, and their enemies' lives are
destroyed. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. And so we will never turn away from you. Give us life, that we may call upon your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians, the first letter from Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. As the Christians in Corinth await the advent of Jesus, Paul reminds them how the Lord has already enriched them through spiritual gifts and will continue to strengthen them until the coming day of the Lord. This reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched by him in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthening you among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you await for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In this passage from Mark, Jesus encourages his followers to look forward to the day when he returns in power and glory to end all suffering. The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "In those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gate. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On the first Sunday of Advent, we traditionally look at a piece of apocalyptic literature, and that's what we have in the Gospel of Mark. Piece of apocalyptic literature. And when we think about apocalypse, what do we think about? The end of the world, right? We think about the end of the world. But what apocalypse really means comes from a Greek word that means an unveiling, a revealing. So it is not meant to be something that we don't understand. It is meant to reveal something about God. It is an opportunity for God to pull back a curtain to give us understanding of what is going on in the world from a divine perspective. So the whole purpose of apocalyptic literature is to give us a healthy perspective on our earthly circumstances so that we can be challenged, comforted, and given hope for the future. And yet when we first look at this, we wonder, where is the hope in this passage? This sounds utterly terrifying. They were told, after suffering occurs, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall down from the heavens. And you wonder, is this meant to cause us fear? And the answer is no, it is meant to give us hope. Well, where's the hope in this? The hope is that even when everything seems to be in total chaos, our God knows what to do with chaos. Look at the very beginning of creation, and you see nothing. And God took that nothing and turned it into something. So what we see here with those heavenly bodies that were made at that first creation, we see them these heavenly bodies that we're so used to, that perform in such a way that we can tell time, we can keep calendars, we can navigate by them, that they seem to spin off and no longer be something that we can count on. It is a destruction of that first creation in order for there to be a recreation. And the hope that we find in this passage is that God is in charge. That when we see everything in chaos, God is still in charge. So in those end times, what we see is that when everything is in utter chaos, when we have perhaps stopped waiting for God to come, that's when God will come. We will see Christ coming again in power. Because we live between Advents. Advent, that waiting period. In the time of Isaiah, in that reading from in our first lesson, the prophet is asking God to come down. And God did come down. That's our first Advent. When God became incarnate, became a man, a human being like one of us. Was born, lived, died, and was resurrected. And promised to come again. That's the first Advent. And the second Advent is the return of Christ in glory. So we live in those between times. As we begin Advent, of course, the focus tends to be on the manger, on Christ as a little child, because it's really easy for us to want to relate to Christ as a little child, a helpless infant, because what harm can there be in a helpless little infant? And we see Christ coming at the end of days, coming with great power and glory. And there's something both comforting and terrifying in that image. The image of him sending out his angels, gathering his people from the four winds, from the ends of the earth, from the ends of heaven, gathering us together. And just as people were not prepared for that first Advent, they're not prepared for the second. And that's been the lessons we've heard for the last several weeks, over and over again, telling us to be prepared, telling us to keep watch, telling us that we do not know the day or the hour when he will come again, but he will come again. And how many of us this morning got up and thought, Jesus will come today, perhaps? Probably not one of us got up and had those as our waking thoughts. This may be the day, so am I prepared for it? And that's the question, are you prepared? If he were to come today, would you be prepared? Would you be? Or would you tell him, why don't you wait a little bit longer? There are some things that I need to do. There are people I need to forgive. There are good deeds I need to do. Please delay a little bit longer. And yet we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. What we're told to do is to stay awake. We're told to stay ready so that we don't have to get ready. If we're already in that state of readiness, we don't have to worry if he comes today or if his coming is delayed longer. We're already ready. I think about situations when you are in a place where disaster is likely to occur. Areas of wildfires. You learn to keep your bags packed, to find your most essential things and have them at hand, so that when you're told to evacuate, you grab what's needed and you get out of there. And you save those possessions and you save your own life. If you're spending your time trying to figure out where your most precious photos are and where is your passport and where is your driver's license, you're delaying. And terrible things have happened to people who've delayed. So that's the question. Are you ready? Can you stay ready so that you don't have to get ready at that last moment? And we're told to stay awake, and we know what happens if we try to stay awake for too long. We get weary, and we fall asleep. Just like in the parable of the 10 bridesmaids that we heard. 5 of them were prepared. 5 of them were ready for whenever the bridegroom came. And the other 5 were foolish and not prepared. And the bridegroom was delayed. And the 5 who were ready had their oil to fill their lamps. And they were ready to meet him. And the others had to run out and try to buy more oil. We're told to be prepared, for we do not know the day or the hour when Christ will come again. So where do we see our hope? What brings us hope? How do we find hope in this passage for today, in this first Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of hope? We find hope because we know that our God keeps promises. We know that God will come again. We know that despite the chaos of the world, God is the one ultimately in charge. We know God has kept promises in the past. God will keep those promises. And that someday, even when the stars fall from the sky, even when the sun and the moon no longer provide us with light, that the light of the world is Jesus, and we will have no need of those stars, the moon, the sun, for his brightness will be all that we need in that new creation. So let us pray. Oh God, on this first Sunday of Advent, we hear these words of Apocalypse, these words of unveiling, as we hear that you are a keeper of promises. We who live in this time between Advents, between the first coming of Christ and his return again, help us to be prepared, to stay prepared, to be ready for the time when you do come again in glory to gather us to yourself. When the old creation passes away and the new creation is established. We thank you that in you we find our hope. In you we find our security. In you we find our refuge. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, My Lord, What a Morning, number 438. let us together proclaim our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With hope and expectation, we offer our prayers for the Church, the world, and all who await God's day of restoration.
Call your Church into holy fellowship as we await the restoration of all things. Re-energize your faithful people to live with hope and compassion, and especially those who serve as missionaries near and far. Center us on your promise to come along among us and make all things new. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. All creation signals your presence, O God. The vastness of the cosmos, the turn of the seasons, and living things that both rest and flourish. Rekindle our commitment to care for the earth. Merciful God, receive our prayer.
Let the nations tremble at your holy presence, that justice and liberation prevail in all corners of the earth. Restore peace to nations in conflict, teach righteousness to corrupt leaders and systems, and bring stability to areas facing uncertain futures. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Enrich the spirits of all who feel hopeless, fearful, or despairing. Stay close to those who await healing or relief. Deliver all in any need, especially those on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts.
Wilbur.
Merciful God, receive our prayer.
Be with those who keep awake at night, nurses working overnight shifts, caregivers of newborns and aging adults, stargazers, those who are anxious, and those who are traveling. Reveal to all that the dark can be a place of calm and comfort filled with your presence. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. You have sent out your angels and gathered your faithful people from every time and place, calling them into one fellowship of saints. Bless the witness of those who dwell in your eternal presence, especially those that we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Listen to these and all our prayers, O God of hosts, and restore us with your great and everlasting mercy. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. And thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings.
Let us pray.
God, our provider, by your merciful hand, abundant springs of holy river, receive and bless these gifts of your own bounty. Let them be a sign of your steadfast love and faithfulness for all evil, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of a Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join your unending hymn.
Thank you.
out to proclaim your good news of liberation and release brought to our word in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
And as you go into the world to share the message of God's love, receive this blessing. The God of peace bless you. The love of Christ sustain you in hope. And the anointing of the Spirit remain upon you now and forever.
Amen.
Let us join together in our ascending song, Fling Wide the Door, number 259.
Yeah.